So we continue our journey through the book of Acts this morning with a reading from chapter 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they associated with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine over all the world, and this took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Linda. Adam's going to open that out a bit for us now. I'll just pray for you in a second, Adam. But do we really believe that what we've just heard there, God is going to speak to our hearts through? I've seen lots of nods. And I guess that comes from experience of hearing it and of receiving it and God speaking directly to us. And I think, you know, when we come and we hear God's word being read to us, that is, it's life-changing. It is absolutely life-changing. And I've seen so many people here in other places that I've been to that have actually seen God do incredible stuff through just hearing encouraging words from the Bible. And sometimes words that have also brought us back in line with God. And so, you know, it's great to be able to reflect. And Adam spent time this week thinking about this in a bit more detail. And we know that God has been preparing our hearts as much as been preparing what you've written. And so when we come together, we meet in that place where all that's happened for us this week, all that Adam's reflected on, what we've just heard then, comes together at this moment where the talk that we hear makes sense to our individual hearts. Without the preparation God's been doing in you and through you, you'd only hear half of it from Adam. And so let's just pray as Adam does open God's word to us that we connect what he's been reflecting on with what God's been saying to us. Lord, we thank you so much for Adam and his love for you. And Holy Spirit, we just pray for whatever he's got on his sheets of paper, that however it comes out of his mouth would be connected and deeply rooted in your word and your love for him and for your church. Come, Lord Jesus, and for ourselves, I just encourage you to place your hand on your heart now. Lord, as we hear what Adam's been preparing and as we reflect on your word together, we pray, open that word out in our hearts to help us follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
everyone.
Good morning.
That's much better. So if we could have the PowerPoint up, please. So today we are going to be looking at what generous faith is, okay? Now, I don't want you to think, oh, here he goes, talking about how to give more money to the church or something like that. I reassure you, that's not what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking a little bit different in terms of what we view generous as and including the faith element to that. And no better way to start off with, first of all, Just saying a big thank you, actually. I have been particularly really blessed to be your curate for the last two odd years. I was trying to work it out. It's like two odd years. Anyway, I'll leave you to work it out. And I have witnessed and seen how much all of you are so generous in terms of with the different ministries that you get involved with, or if someone is needing some more support, how you just go and rally around them, and or you just meet up with people for lunch and tea and coffee. There's lots of different things that you all do and how you all serve, and it is a huge privilege to see that and how generous you all are. So a big thank you, okay? Today we're going to be looking at generous faith, and no better way to start off is in Acts. Acts is, of course, the book written by Luke, the doctor, who loves attention to detail. And so he begins with the believers scattered due to the persecution and Stephen's murder. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've kind of, you've got a little group together and crisis happens, such as Stephen's murder, you kind of go off into the countryside or go on a holiday or escape the kind of situation, wouldn't you, right? I would anyway. These disciples head up to Antioch. And Antioch is like the Roman Empire's third largest city. And in that place, they have pagan worship. It's the center of pagan worship. So if you're like, when crisis happens, they're going to the epicenter of danger, right? And so you kind of want to avoid that as much as possible. But no, they go there. Next slide, please. And so as they travel to Antioch, they share good news, and a great number of people turned to the Lord. Now, we use the word Gentiles. Gentiles mean that those who are not Jewish. And they converted loads and loads and loads of people of Gentiles in a great number in Antioch. And so as they traveled to Antioch, they shared the good news, and a great number turned to the Lord. Here we see a really important lesson. Faith grows so much stronger and spreads further when it is tested. How often do we see difficulties in our lives as barriers that limit us instead of opportunities? Now, I'm sure Emma can testify to this, but whenever there's a problem, I'm always the first to moan about it. And then I will reflect on it, and then I will come up with some kind of problem-solving solution, not all the time, but And that's such about life, where we can turn that around and actually think about, let's not look at the difficulties, let's look at the opportunities that we can turn this around with the help of God. And so their faith was propelled forward, that they carried on going forward. So let us encouragingly bold each of us to share the gospel, knowing that the trials that we face in our own life are messy and they're horrible, but they can then be turned into messages for other people, which is God at work. So the bad stuff that we go into, I am a firm believer of this, that God uses to bless other people in the future, because you have overcome that with the help of Jesus. It was in Antioch where the first Gentile church happened. Next slide, please. And this is St. Peter's in Antioch, the cave church. And if you go on Google and search it, there's some really beautiful pictures that come up. And it is one of the oldest worshipping churches in Antioch. And as I said earlier, there were pagan cults in this place. It was a real kind of business place to be, trading port for the Roman Empire. And something amazing happened. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, and large amounts of people became Christians, which is a good thing, but it created a problem. And the problem was that they had tons and tons of new Christians and not really kind of older and wiser Christians around to support them and discipleship them. And the other amazing thing that happened, they were known, the first word in terms of Christians came from Antioch. Because it was in Antioch that the barriers of race, culture, and language was all broken down. And it was all thanks to Jesus, bringing all of these different groups of people together, and they worshipped him. For the first time, race, culture, and language was not a cause of division, but to bring people together for Jesus' sake. And so, if we go on to the next slide, please. On my screen at home, this looked a lot bigger, so I apologize. But ignore the kind of arrows. So you see Jerusalem down here. And so what happens? The Jerusalem church, they hear of how much the Antioch church is growing, okay? So they send a chap, he's called Barnabas. Barnabas comes from Jerusalem all the way up to Tarsus, grabs Saul, who's also called Paul, well done. And then they go back to Antioch. So let's find out what happens there. So Barnabas goes up, grabs Saul, and they head to Antioch. And what they did there, they realized that there were a load of new Christians. And so what they did, they spent a year there teaching and discipleship and discipling them and allowing them to grow. They partnered with them. They walked with them in their faith journey and they nurtured them. Now, over the years, me and Emma have both had many people who have nurtured us, our youth worker Ian Mullins, with his crazy jokes and teachings as well, and friendship. A couple called Janet and David Potter, they were like my spiritual grandparents, if you like, who are now with the Lord. And Georgina Wild, who me and Emma have got so much thanks to her. I'm mentioning these. Oh, and Paul as well for mentoring me. And Paul for mentoring me in training me and investing in me. And I am so thankful for all of these people because of the investment that they have put in to me. Now, this isn't some kind of a speech that I'm going to collect a award or anything like that, but I want to share that because they have invested time and effort and what they have learned from their mistakes, and they have passed that on. And they have generously walked with us, and it is such a blessing. So I wonder, have you helped someone when they were a new Christian? Walked alongside them? Or perhaps you're a new Christian, and you could do with someone to walk alongside you. Well, why not speak to Paul or myself about that, and we can arrange for that to happen. But encouragement is a form of generosity, and it costs nothing, yet it has a great impact. Barnabas didn't just walk. He didn't just offer words. He took action by seeking out Saul, later to become Paul, to help disciple the church. Who in your life could use a word of encouragement today? How could you intentionally support others in their walk with Jesus? Generous faith is not just about financial giving. It's much more than that. It's about investing in people. Like Barnabas, we are called to mentor and uplift others. If we are not empowering others, we have made it too much about ourselves and have lost the pearl of discipleship. Generous faith is less about us and it's more about the other. One of the great missionaries who I really admire for the obstacles that she's overcome. Heidi Baker, she was once asked a question. How do you love the unlovable? How do you do mission like you do? And she said this. Don't make it complicated. Just love the one in front of you. It's simple yet profound. When we are being generous, be very careful that we're not living by the opinion of others or do it to gain attention. It must be for all, for God and God alone. You might be living your life frustrated because the people around you aren't cheering you on in your faith journey, particularly if you're surrounded in your family by non-Christians. It's difficult, it's hard. You might get knocked down by their comments. You might get frustrated when God asks you to step out, but you're not seeing any fruit. And they're going to tell you, it's a waste of time. Why are you going there? But when we give generously, it's not a waste. When we see our generosity as a waste or a sacrifice, it's not a waste. Sacrifice is not a waste, it's worship. I really believe this morning a few people need to hear this message, how you've invested in people and you've been told it's been a waste of a time. Or you may even think it's been a waste of a time. Sacrifice is worship. We can see the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophets from Jerusalem came to Antioch church and predicted a great famine. And we knew this to be the case because history proved that there was a famine that happened. The believers' response was remarkable. They did not question. They did not hesitate. Each disciple, according to their ability, gave generously to support the church down in Judea because of the famine that was about to come. This is what faith looks like in action. They saw a need and responded without delay. The biblical principle here is God loves a cheery giver. I don't know about you, but that's so true because no one likes a grumpy giver, do they? True generosity comes from the heart. If we're given from a burden or we're doing something because we need the toilets to be cleaned and you want them to be cleaned, is that the right way to do it? We need to do it because our heart is in the right place. What does generosity look like today? It could be financial giving, but that's not the end all of it. Most importantly, I think it's acts of service, hospitality, spending time with someone that just needs to listen. Listen to that person. Living with a generous faith is difficult, it's hard work, but it's so important. We need to share the gospel freely. Just as the early believers spread the word, despite all the hardship that they faced, we must share Jesus wherever we go without fear. So we need to encourage and invest in others like Barnabas. We should seek opportunities to uplift, mentor, and discipleship others in their faith. Give generously according to our own ability, whether through financial support, time, or service. We should be eager to meet the needs of others. And in doing so, we need to trust in God's provision. Generosity requires faith. When we give, we trust that God will provide for our own needs also. And so generous faith is not about how much we have, but how much we are willing to trust God with and share the things that he has given us. The church in Antioch reminds us today that when faith is active and generous, it transforms lives. I wonder if the people in your lives hadn't invested in you, would you be sitting where you are right now today? There's no special course, there's no special program that you need to be on. You've got all of the right skills, experiences that you need to invest in someone, to discipleship someone. It transforms lives when we invest in someone, when we discipleship them. And it strengthens the body of Christ, us, the church. And it advances the kingdom of God. So this week, I'm challenging myself here, as well as all of you, to practice generosity in some form, whether encouraging someone, giving to a cause, or sharing your time. So that might mean we have to give up our favourite programme that we're looking forward to all week, or stepping outside in the freezing cold to go and spend time with someone. Sacrifice is not a waste, it's worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for everyone here in this church today. We give thanks that you have created them in your image. And so, Father, cultivate a heart of generosity within all of us, that we may be like the church in Antioch, living out our faith in tangible ways. May we, like the believers in Antioch, be known for a faith that is generous in serving and loving others. In Jesus' name, amen.